38th episode of the Not Your Mama's Gamer podcast, a podcast where we talk about games and gaming from a feminist perspective. I am one of your co-hosts, Samantha Blackman. I'm an associate professor here at Purdue University in a wonderful one. Come on. See the greatest show on earth. Wonderful West Lafayette, Indiana, where I teach rhetoric and composition, specifically minority rhetorics and digital rhetorics, where I focus in digital rhetorics mostly on game studies. I am joined today, as in every podcast day, by my two co-hosts, Alex Lane and Nicole Marie.
You should come closer.
Hello, I think.
Hello, I'm Alex. Sam and I went water walking this morning, so we're kind of tired. I tried to nap on three chairs pushed together, but I think I look kind of crazy. But I am a aside from that, I am a PhD student at Purdue. No, I'm not. I'm a PhD candidate.
Yes, you are.
At Purdue University, ABD. I was going to add a swear word at the end of that, but I decided not to at the last second. I study games, gaming, video game industry, game studies, and so forth. Nicole?
Wow, I feel way overly energized now.
Oh, really? Because we're both like...
drinking you can have part of my sandwich. Light with caffeine.
I'm like, Crystal Light with caffeine, that's a new thing. I've never heard of that.
It's wild strawberry flavored, it's amazing.
I like Crystal Light. I like their Crystal Light. Their Crystal Light fit, because it doesn't have the artificial sweetness.
It has the...
Natural, artificial.
What is that one called?
Stevia?
Stevia, yeah. That's what it is. The weird one. All right, so I'm Nicole Marie.
This is going to be a good episode. We are just all off our game. I like it a lot.
And I am graduating from Purdue. Woo. In August.
Yay!
Is she a bachelor now? Like, after you get your master, you're a master. And after you get your PhD, you're a doctor.
So I'm a bachelor.
So you're a bachelor
now.
I think.
Oh, that feels good. That feels good. I don't have a bachelor
Nicole Marie,
pad yet.
Bachelor, yeah.
But someday. Yeah, someday. Someday I'll have a bachelor pad. And... then
Sam,
hopefully...
you look like you're like, shut up, you two. She's shaking her head.
What are you guys talking about? Hopefully I'll be coming back at some point and doing cooler things here again.
Yep.
So, yay!
In grad school.
Yay us.
Those who can't go to grad school.
Those who can't. Those who get screwed over go to grad school.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
It will all work out in the end.
Yes, it will.
It usually does.
Yep, it does.
All right, so we'll start with our usual, what you playing, what you reading, what you drinking. First up for what you playing, who wants to go first this week?
You're first on the list.
Okay, wow. I'm first on the list. I knew it was going to be me. well, let's see. I've been playing more Lollipop Chainsaw. I don't know why I can't even explain it. It's like a train wreck.
Yeah, trust me. I don't know why I
need
to play it either.
It's just like you just keep playing it. I guess because I wanted to buy additional outfits to see if I could cover up some as I play. No. Mm-hmm. No, that doesn't work.
This poor girl in a cold with her. She must be freezing cold. Think about all the debris from the chainsaw that's in her skin. Ugh.
Yeah, it has been working very well. I also played a little more Dragon's Dogma because I wanted to give it another chance because there are people out there that really like this game.
I mean,
game.
Seriously dedicated to this game.
And the gameplay just sucks
it
to me.
It does, yeah, to me too. I don't like it at all.
And I hate this game, man. And I was like, it must be me. I played it on different TVs. I was like, maybe that's why it looks like everybody's just... clumped together and fighting, and I can't see where my fucking avatar is, and why these damn pawns? Those are they're NPCs, I guess. Actually,
yeah,
that come in from other people's games. That's what they call them, and why they're just like always in my way and getting on my nerves by saying the same things over and over and over again. But, you know, I gave it another try, and no matter what TV I played it on and how I played it and how far I got in the game, it still sucked.
You made it 4 minutes and 38 seconds into the podcast without saying fuck. Well done.
I was wondering what you were looking at.
Longest one. Yeah.
That's what happens when Dragon Dogma comes up.
That's true. Well, I've played Dragon's Dogma since Alex Lane is going to talk about me. I'm going to move on now. I have also been playing Lego Batman 2.
Yay! I really want to get it. Maybe I'll just borrow it from you. Can I do that?
No, mine's Gamefly.
Oh, okay.
I might actually buy it, though. I might keep it. And then the answer's still going to be no, because I want to go through and play the free play. That would be the only reason that I bought it, was to go through and play the replay with all the Justice League characters. So I have to say that this is absolutely the best. I don't know if we talked about this last time, but the best Lego game yet.
We touched on it, I think, a little bit.
Yeah. It was a whole lot of fun. My only complaint is that we didn't get to open up to more characters and make them playable characters
until
later in the game. Like, you can play Wonder Woman until maybe the last level of the game, I want to say.
I want to play her little Lego self all the time, though.
See, well, that's why you have to finish the game, and then you can go through and do free play. Yeah,
gotcha.
Which, like I said, is probably the reason that I'll end up keeping the game if I do, is because I want to go through and play with the characters that I want to play with, because some of them had some pretty badass skills, and I want to go through and play some of the other levels with them and open things that I shouldn't be able to open and so on. So yeah. I've been playing a whole lot of Lego Batman 2. And also, I broke down. I have been playing Diablo 3.
Yay.
Yeah, I broke down. For a number of reasons. I am interested in the community forums that surround Diablo 3. And just like with any other game or games in general, I don't think you can write about something without being immersed in the gameplay as well.
You can, but from a very different perspective. Like, I could talk about how many copies D3 sold, right?
Yes,
but that would be very boring and lame perspective.
That's exactly what that would be.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm playing Diablo.
Little jab at some game theorists there, I think. Jab.
So I'm playing Diablo 3. I'm not many hours yet. I think, like I said, I'm about
four or five
hours in.
Oh, wow. That's like barely anything.
Yeah, that's nothing.
Yeah. Definitely.
That's not be judgmental about it.
Well, I like, understand. I mean, Diablo 3 people, shoot. I think the first night, well, maybe not because they had so many server issues, but someone came into the store and they were like, oh, I already beat the whole campaign. I was like, who are you? And what
are you
doing with your life?
Yeah.
That's Cody was pretty crazy about it.
He played like 18 hours straight.
Yeah, so he said he would get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and meet his friend who lives wherever online, and then they would play until like midnight or 2. I think it might have been something like that. And that would be every day.
Every day.
He would shower right before his wife got home, so his wife didn't get mad at him for not having gotten up or showered. And I imagine, he didn't say this, but this is what I imagine, because this is what I do when I play WoW, is I make a pizza, and then I set it on my chest right here while I play, and then I can be like... That's what I do when I... You want to know how I can beat games, like, overnight? That's how.
That's
pizza,
really sad.
Pizza on
your
chest.
Yeah, so 4 hours, nothing.
Yeah, that's nothing.
You haven't even scratched any type of surface. You haven't seen the surface yet.
She gave me a player friend pass thing, so I'm going to try it too.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. I have to say that. And I'm really looking forward to actually spending a whole lot of time playing with it. It's just been like a crazy busy week for me, and I just picked it up this week. And it's been a crazy busy week. It's actually been like a week on campus of doing crap for me. So, but yeah, I'm really enjoying Diablo 3. My biggest complaint is the non-customizable characters.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's not as fun.
Because I'm actually playing a female monk who is, you know, pretty much naked from the beginning until you start picking. And, I mean, I've picked up some pretty good gear even for a low-level monk, but, and she's still pretty naked.
Yeah.
She's still really naked, and she's, you know, thin and buxom, big-hipped and blonde. Very blonde.
So she looks like me.
Yeah. She's there you go.
Oh, my God.
And she has this horrible, like, Eastern European accent it's bad.
Come on. I heard that the voice acting in it is, like, really awful.
Yeah, she's awful. Got this horrible Eastern European accent. That, and then she talks nonstop, so I'm just sitting there all the time going, shut up, stop talking to me. So, it's like, I keep hoping that... That I'll get used to the voice and I won't hear, you know, the cheesy Eastern European accent. It's like what it would sound like if I did an Eastern European accent. And, you know, there are accents that I do well because, you know, I had an accent at one point in my life.
You should do one.
No.
No.
But Eastern European is not one of them.
Not in your repertoire of...
Nope. And then Alex Lane made me start playing an iOS game yesterday called Heyday. Which is like, oddly enough, she's sitting here and she's like excited by it, let's just say. But it's just like Farmville.
Yeah. I opened it and I played like the first 10 minutes and I look over at Mike and I'm like, this is the stupidest game I've ever played. Just completely stupid. It's just like Farmville. And now, after playing for like 2 weeks with my mom, probably like 6 hours cumulative a day, I have a different opinion. But I hated it at first too. Mike's like, why are you playing that game so much? You just talked about how much you hated it and how stupid it was. I'm like, I know it's stupid. Shut up. I'm busy. I gotta check my crops.
Let me play.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've been playing that nonstop. Something's wrong with me. I know.
Yeah.
That's funny. I have a friend who, when she hates food, like she tries a lot of new foods. When she's eating it, she'll be like, this really sucks.
And just keep eating it?
I just hate this so much. And she's shoveling it into her face.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this tastes so horrible. Oh, my God, this is so bad. And she's just, like, shoveling it into her face. I'm like,
another order over here.
What are you doing? Yeah, buy me more of this horrible food. So you do that with games.
I guess. I'm having so much fun. Actually, it's like, one of those where you can buy, like, the diamonds and crap. Yeah. You don't have energy points. I think that's one of the things I like about it, is it's not, like... where you have to wait until you have energy and then you can go do a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because that's always really annoying. So, like, it's still, like, time management in that your crops take a long time to build. But I feel like it's like the Facebook iOS game. Are you done? I'm sorry.
I am.
So, it's like the Facebook / iOS type, like, time management games, like Farmville and stuff.
Yeah,
but it's, like, the pinnacle of it. Like, it's done well. It's well-rounded. So, like, you have crops... and you make those crops that you build into stuff. Like, you can make them into animal feeder. You can make them into sweatshirts.
Bread.
You can make it into bread. Really? And then, so, like, you, as your farm gets bigger, you can have, like, different, more, like, animal pastures. You can have more different kinds of crops. You can have different kinds of production buildings that, like, make different things.
So you turn into a corporation.
You turn
Start
into
as
a
lowly farm.
That's right.
Turn into a corporation.
That's right. And there's not... you need people to come look at your farm. That's not part of it. You don't leave messages for people. You don't.
Hey,
in fact,
water my plants.
You don't go to anybody else's farm unless you like. There's a classified ad where you can just put your produce up for sale.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So like, that's
the
only
how
way.
You play with people.
Yeah, but
by selling, like, there's an economy.
Yeah, there's
people.
An economy, but it's just you go there and buy it and then leave. Like, it's not. So,
so is it solely like? Can you only thrive if people are buying your things?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
So you can do it.
That's just like to make extra money. Yeah, because there's NPCs that come to your farm and buy your stuff.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And you complete delivery. So it'd be like, deliver 4 bags of popcorn and 3 cookies to the children's home for movie night. And so like you have to make that stuff and then you can bring it there.
That's cool.
Yeah. I know, I realize everyone out there is like rolling your eyes, but it is so fun. I just, like, I downloaded it.
Oh, my God.
I hated it at first. I loved it. My mom downloaded it. She's like, this is stupid. She played all the Farm Bills and Cafe Worlds and all that stuff. And she's like, this is stupid. And seriously, like, 10 minutes later, she's like, can you loan me some cow's milk? Because I don't have any, and I need to make some cream. I'm like, oh, okay, Mom. And now she's just, like, obsessed. She's just obsessed.
Nonstop.
So, anyway, I played so much of that, it's disgusting. Although I spent the last week on vacation up in Lutzen, where there's no cell phone reception, no internet, no nothing up in the mountains in northern Minnesota.
I was wondering if a serial killer had gotten you, because you just, like, dropped off the radar.
There's nothing you can do.
She did. I knew she was leaving. I was going to say, I knew she was leaving.
She never responded.
But, you know, it's like, she wasn't on Facebook. Uh-huh. She, you know, wasn't answering text messages. And I was like, maybe a serial killer got her ass up in Minnesota.
Well, that's the cool thing about going up there is you're up in the mountains. No nothing.
Yeah.
But, of course, plenty of liquor and gorgeous, huge, extravagant cabins.
That's cool.
So my whole family went up there. So I think that we had two big cabins. There was between the little kids and us, I don't know, probably like 20 of us, maybe more. So it's just fun swimming and biking and all that kind of nonsense.
That's those family vacations.
Some beanbag toss. So anyway, so that's where I was. So I didn't get to play. Actually, I did play Mario. They brought their Wii, my nephews, and I played Mario Party. I'd never played it before.
Oh, cool.
It was so fun.
And you went up there without games.
You never played Mario
I didn't
Party
even bring a computer.
Are you kidding me?
I didn't bring a computer.
Oh, God, I'd be crazy.
Yeah. Oh, well.
That's why my family resorts to card
booze
games.
Booze for.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have so many yard games. My brother makes games. So he always, like, has these new games to pilot, and we test them out, new yard games and stuff. He, like, builds them out of wood. I know, it's really funny. I think it's so bizarre. He's a math teacher, so, like, if you knew him, you'd be like, what are you doing?
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway. So, let's see. What else did I play? I'm sorry. I played Band Together, which is, have you guys seen this at all?
I've heard little bits and pieces about it.
It's animated kind of like a Loom or a Tiny Bang Story, like, you know, that kind of style, like a cardboard cutout style.
Mm-hmm.
And you have these different guys, and you have to, like, and they do different things, kind of like a Lemmings, and you, like, move them around with your finger on your iPad. You're falling asleep while I'm talking. Knock it off. And you, like, move them around, and you can, like, do different stuff, and you try and, like, solve it, kind of like a Lemmings. You solve to get through the level.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's really pretty. And then, what else did I play? Gods and Kings. The, Civilization expansion, which I have half a post written about, and we'll finish that and then talk about it later because I don't want to put Sam to sleep. And then Lone Survivor, which is my indie game of the week, which I'll talk about later.
Cool. Yay!
I am not falling asleep.
Sam, we just had breakfast, and so we're sitting there on her computer, and Sam's like, she's sitting there like that, just snoring. And I hit her, and I go, Sam, you're sleeping. She goes, no, I wasn't. I'm like, not only was I staring at your face, you were snoring. You're like, whatever.
In my defense, I had to get up at 6 o'clock this morning in order to get my kid dropped off at school by 7:30 to make it to water walking by 8. I have had coffee and an energy drink already, and I am still,
like, zonked.
Do you think you're dehydrated? I heard that caffeine makes you more tired than wakes you
not
up if you're
since
if
I
you're
don't
dehydrated
sweat, I doubt I'm dehydrated.
Yeah. Oh, lucky you.
No, it's not
no
lucky.
Oh.
She can't, like, do anything in the summer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because her body won't cool down and she'll just, like, die.
Sucks. Well, good thing you don't have my car because I haven't had air conditioning throughout this heat wave.
Oh, my
it's
God.
It's been disgusting.
People are living their kids in their cars all over the place. Do you see that stuff?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I can't even leave my dog in the car for 5 seconds.
I was
going to
say, people who leave their dogs in the car make me sick and they don't leave the windows down because they're afraid they're going to jump out. I would fucking jump out, too. You know,
in a
fucking 110-degree car.
Yeah, we had a friend with this gorgeous dog. She was so sweet, and he left her in the car and died.
Yeah.
Oh,
I've left Zelda in the car for like when I ran into you for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Just to fill out some, and all the windows are down. If she wants to jump out, she is more than welcome to.
Yeah, when we drive from Minnesota and back, and we have to stop at a gas station, you know, and we have to, like, go in for a second.
Yeah, I always am like, you know what? I'm going to come back, and someone's going to have rescued my dog, because they're going to be so
pretty. And there'll be a brick
so
on your front seat.
Small, yeah, exactly.
We usually leave it running, too, so that they
on that note, ladies.
We're so distracted. Oh, my God.
Oh, whatever.
So,
Nicole, what'd you play?
I played Lollipop Chainsaw some more, and for God knows why, I have no fucking clue, because I bought this game, I sat down, and I was like, I'm gonna fucking finish this game.
Yep.
I was so dedicated, and I felt the same way you did. Like, every time I got a new outfit, I put it on her just to see what it was, and every time I was just disappointed, and I was like, her boobs are hanging out, and then after...
I was like, can I get a jogging suit? Something.
Some sort of skin-tight Velcro suit where I don't see her belly button and a large amount of cleavage, but... She God, and I don't remember if we said it last week or not, and I think it was, I played it after we had done the podcast, because as soon as we were done with podcasting, I went home and I played it some more. And it's the point when you meet Sensei, or whatever, and he's, like, being hit, and every time he lands, he falls in her boobs. Like, his face lands in her boobs, and she's like, oh, huh. And I was like, why? Like, why is this a prevalent theme?
Or when he's staring at her ass because he's looking at Nick's head.
Yeah. And they, and she's like, she like bent over with her butt in his face, like reading him, like, hey, Sensei, here's my ass. Like, what is this? Yeah. So yeah, exactly. It's like a train wreck. I can't stop watching it. So I continue to play it, and it's horrible. And then I downloaded, I've been trying to find games that I can pick up for super cheap. So I've been downloading a ton of demos, and I picked up Catherine, and I was playing it, and I actually really liked the gameplay, and the story, too, which I was really shocked about, because I'm not a JRPG person at all. Like,
no, I'm not either.
All. And I really enjoyed this game a lot, and the story kept me really hooked for some reason. I don't know if I was, like, super tired that day when I started it, but I was sitting there, and I was like, when the demo was over, I was like, I want to know more. Like, what's going to happen to you?
Oh, my God.
I don't know how it happened.
Did you get it on Xbox?
Yeah. And you can buy it. You can download it off of there, but I get my discount at work, so I just bought it from work. But it's really hard to find, too. Like, we have no used copies of the game at all. Like, the closest store that has a used copy is, like, 500 miles away.
Wow.
It's crazy. So, it's a really great game. I enjoy the gameplay a lot. And it's hard, too. It's really hard.
The demo is very hard.
Kicked my ass.
Yeah.
Really badly. Because there's basically... Have you played any of it at all?
No.
Okay. Basically, like, you're this guy, and every time you sleep...
You've nightmares.
I've put it on here. So you're climbing like these walls, and you have to decide like which ones to pull out and move around so you can keep climbing. And if you can't figure it out, like you have like 5 seconds to figure it out. So it's just trial and fucking error over and over and over again.
Oh, man.
And I love it. Like, it's a really awesome way to do it. And I don't feel frustrated when I don't get it right the first time either. So it's actually...
It's more like that, I gotta keep going!
Yeah, like, oh my God, I just want to go up more.
I like that, yeah.
I just want to keep going. And there's these huge hands that are following you up, and she's just slashing away at all the things under. It's scary. Like,
yeah.
I feel scared.
Jeez.
So,
but it's the crazy bitchy girl for this dude.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Because
I mean,
the story's like
the
he's commitment phobic or something.
He's even in the demo you get like all of that into it that he's commitment phobic, but he like randomly sleeps with this other girl. His girlfriend that wants to marry him is like she's like pressuring him to propose and he's not ready. She's Catherine with a K. The girl he sleeps with is
Catherine
with
a C.
Right.
And so through it you are like from the beginning, you don't know what woman is, like, chasing you, but you start to feel like it's Catherine with a K. But it's weird because I didn't get that, like, vibe from her character at all.
Well, this is why I didn't like the game. She becomes this nagging bitch from hell. You know, oh, you gotta marry me, my biological clock is ticking, blah, 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 blah. So every stereotype about a woman who is reaching a certain age is put into the voice of Catherine,
right,
who is also the antagonist in this nightmarescape that you're playing in, right, and trying to kill you.
Yeah.
So it's like...
If you die in the dream, you die in real life.
Yeah.
So he's like, he keeps waking up and he's just like totally anxious and like just a wreck. And but it's all because of like his... It's a cool concept. I definitely disagree with the way that she is portrayed. And I mean, but I like it a lot. And then I've just been playing insane amounts.
It's kind of like JRPG meets Q-Bert.
Yeah. That's a really good description of it, because that's exactly what the gameplay is.
Yeah.
I was just shocked I liked the story in a JRPG, because usually I'm sitting there like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
I don't understand who is who anymore.
That's how I usually play JRPGs. I like lay back and I'm like, X.
Yeah.
X. And then 4 hours later I get to actually have a scene where I do something.
Do something. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. But aside from that, I've been playing it a lot, and I'm liking it a lot. And then I've been playing insane amounts of the Call of Duty
online.
Yeah. As much as I've been getting sexually harassed, like, every single time I play, I just can't stop playing. It's ridiculous.
I'm gonna got you.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nor should it stop you from playing.
No, it definitely shouldn't. I just mute and or block. And they get angry because I'm like 25-3 the whole time, every time we have a match. And then they send me messages like, oh, you should join my clan. And what color, like, panties are you wearing or whatever?
Yeah.
Like, ah, it's so funny.
You can join my clan, but you can only join my clan if you're wearing red panties. Because everybody else is
wearing
red panties.
Except we're all guys. So.
It's the red panty clan.
So you will be our mascot. You are red panties. So,
yeah. Oh.
We all did the same thing. We all just grabbed our eyes with our hands. Like, no.
Life.
Life indeed.
Well, it's really funny on that note. Like, at GameStop, every time a guy wants to talk about a game, and then they find out, like, I'm knowledgeable about games, and mostly, like, the mainstream games, they'll be like, oh, it's so nice to talk to a girl who knows video games. And I'm like, I know where this conversation is going. Like, and then not to like, oh my God, pat myself on the back. I'm such a hot chick who plays video games. But it's literally how the conversation goes every single time. And it's like,
I can't even. Oh.
Like, I just have to plaster a smile on my face and be like, yep, it's nice. I play video games. Thank you.
I only do it for the attention, too. So thank
you
for giving that to me.
Thank you for allowing me to have
it. And while you're at it, why don't you just ask me what color my panties are?
Please do, because I've been waiting to tell you.
It's fine. I don't need somebody to ask me.
Polka dots, okay? They're polka dots.
Somebody ask me what color my panties are.
Actually, I'm wearing a swimsuit.
I dressed to take off these clothes today. It's a bathing suit underneath. Oh, man.
Yeah. That's just, that was a good description of women. That's exactly what I like.
Only if you're a woman who plays video games.
That's right.
So that's how we do.
That's right.
And you stand around licking controllers all day.
Well, I like to cover up my naughty bits with controllers, personally.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Lick controller, cover the naughty bits.
We took 27 minutes to talk about what we're playing.
That's okay.
It was a good conversation.
It was a good conversation. Well, with seven changes. Of that was you with guys changes. Talking about leaving dogs in the car. Alrighty then.
Worth it. At least what you're reading will probably go fast.
Yes,
yeah. Yeah, I know. God.
The what you read will probably go pretty fast. Because you and I were talking this morning. You haven't been reading much of anything. Because you've been out in the woods.
Yeah, well, I read stuff that was nothing close to game-related about, like, workplace and how production works. Yeah.
That sounds absolutely amazing. You look really thrilled telling us that.
Well, also, I've been trying to read stuff of people that I hate so that I can start making arguments against them more effectively. So I've been reading a lot of douche-nozzle-y things.
Douche-nozzle.
Mm-hmm.
I would hate to think that maybe one of those people was me.
Everything that Sam Blackman's ever written. Of course not. Because
I hate her so much. I'm reading. Well, I have been doing a little bit of reading because I'm starting a new research project. And so I've been going through all the journals and special issues and edited collections and see what's been published lately to see if anybody already stole my idea.
Sounds like fun.
So I've been reading a lot of games and composition stuff, and not kind of game theory writ large. And there's, like I said, some interesting stuff out there, and then some of it is more commonsensical and more practical than I like or would write myself. How's that?
Mm-hmm.
So I spent a good bit of time, hour wise, doing that.
Hmm.
That's what I've been reading.
Does that also kill two birds with one stone, kind of? Because in a way, you're finding things to kind of back what you're doing as well. In a way, does that? I mean,
or to
does that
talk
make
against?
Sense? Yeah. Mm. Like things that you can argue against or back the things you want to say.
Some of it, yeah. Some of it does. A lot of it is, I won't say a lot. Well, yeah, a lot of it is unrelated to what I'm actually working on. So I won't really be able to use it, but yeah. So there is some stuff there
that's cool.
That I've taken notes on and thought about.
Cool.
how it fits into the way that I'm thinking about specific things. Other than that, it's just been freaking hot.
It has been so my mom came to visit and couldn't, from like going outside just between the car and our house and the car and the shopping malls, she like had this crazy asthma attack and couldn't leave my house for like 2 days when she was visiting.
Really?
Yeah, because like this, like, it just like totally messed with her lungs. She wasn't able to, we went to this restaurant, she like couldn't even get up and go get food because she'd be like, she couldn't breathe. It was
crazy. That's really crazy. I know the pollen's been really bad too, so. Yeah. Apparently hot weather means we don't read.
Yeah.
Shit happens.
Yeah. Shit happens.
What you drinking? I think I already told mine. I had a, a Starbucks refresher.
Those are good.
The strawberry lemonade. They are pretty good.
They are good. Yeah.
When it, once they're not ice cold, they do kind of taste soapy.
But it's not bad.
Yeah.
It's a good soap.
I'm glad that you said that, because people think I'm crazy when I say things taste like soap, but it happens a lot to me.
Yeah, it tastes a little like soap when it's not ice cold, because I had a strawberry lemonade one this morning, and coffee. So that's what I've been drinking this morning.
That's crazy. I also already said what I'm drinking. Wild strawberry Crystal Light.
Oh, yeah.
With the caffeine. Woo!
Well, I guess it's a mystery what I'm drinking. Coffee and water.
Woo!
Coffee and water. Nothing exciting. We'll have to...
Yeah, maybe our next episode can be a nighttime one.
Yeah.
And we'll drink.
I like drinking.
Woo!
Well, we'll just drink in the daytime.
I love day drinking, so I'm up for that, too.
Yeah.
If I can get the hangover over by, like, midnight, I'm a happy camper. I thought you were going to flick me off, but you gave me the thumbs up. I'm glad.
Yeah.
So what's next? News?
News!
I added a news story to your news thing.
Oh, did you? Cool.
It's at the end, though.
Oh, I read that. So, I'll let you talk about it, though. I put, like, very just, like, happy things, because I know we were trying to have a lighter episode this time.
Because we've had what was
90% less rape.
It was an episode with 90% less rape.
And this was all over. We can have a moment to think about that right now.
The
death of rape in our podcast is today.
New and improved.
New and improved. No rape. So this was all over. I mean, literally every single like news, gaming news thing that I look at, because it's just abso-fucking-lutely insane. I'm sorry, I'm dropping the F-bomb so much. It's just that kind of a day. So on Kickstarter, this group is, and I have no idea how to pronounce it, Ouya?
We said
Ouya. I said Ouya.
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 Ouya. Ouya. Ouya. I have no idea. Ouya. Ouya. They are a Los Angeles-based group that is making a Android, like, OS, I guess, console. And it's just $99 for it. And so basically, if you give them $95, gets you the console, but they're totally sold out of that one, so now it's $99. For the console, it's hackable, and they want you to. It's like open source software kind of a system. They want you to do whatever you possibly can with it, which is what most Android things are. I mean, and in 2 days, and I'm not even joking, they got $300,000 in the course of like 20 minutes. They have... What was it? 22,000 backers already, and it's up to $3 million. And they said that this is like the craziest, like fastest growing thing in Kickstarter history. Which, granted, I'm sure it's not a very long history.
this is so the industry though. They're all like, "Console's dead, console's dead." No, you just need to make it better and make it what people want.
And open source is something that we've never really seen in consoles before.
Right.
And people are itching for new consoles right now. I mean, there's an absolute itching for them.
Yeah, there's
and
all these stories about how they're thinking about firing the people who decided
to wait that long.
To wait so long to make a,
to
new,
make
console,
a new console. I just
and just
read
to keep
that too.
Improving on the one that they had, yeah.
Yeah. So basically, Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo screwed themselves over in waiting this long to put out new consoles. And this group, I mean, they have $3 million. They were only asking for $1 million. I say only because they've gotten
three times
what they
that.
Asked for. But, so, yeah, I mean, right now you have to do $99 towards the project to even get one. But you, $99 for a console is a great freaking
They have the guy that made the first Xbox help
them. Yeah, yeah. They have a lot of really awesome people on the team, too. Mm-hmm. A lot of really awesome people. And not that the first Xbox was really, like, all that great by any means, but the fact that...
I thought it was great in the moment.
Yeah. At the time, it was really awesome. Mm-hmm. Definitely. I remember my friend had one, and he was like, I could put all this music on it and listen to it while I play games. And it was like, oh my god, that's the coolest thing ever.
Mind.
That's so cool. So yeah, so there's that if you want one. Maybe we can include the link, I guess. And then another little happy note, which I thought is actually really interesting, but then as I read more about it, it made me angry. The next Batman game is going to be a prequel to Arkham Asylum, but the hitch on that is that they are basically doing it this way because of the Justice League movie that's coming out. So they want you to be introduced to the Justice League characters through the game before the movie comes out, so you'll be more affiliated with it.
Hmm.
Which, I mean, if you're a fan of these things, you're going to know the Justice League anyways. Like, why would you...
Right.
Like, I think, of all people, gamers who enjoy these games are going to know those characters already. I feel that way.
I think you're 100% right.
Yeah, I think that's, like, the group of people who enjoy the comments and or comics and everything else. So, but I also thought that it was interesting that they're modeling it after, like, 1950s kind of Batman story.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Definitely very cool. I like the old school Batman a lot. A whole lot. So, there's that. And then you have a little news tidbit on here.
Yeah, I just put this on there because, for one reason, I thought it was, like, interesting, and for the second, I thought it would piss Sam off. So, the creator of Heavy Rain had an interview with, I can't remember who, but with, I think it was Game Industry International.
Yeah.
And he talked about in this interview that he said if the industry doesn't innovate, that it's going to die. And he talks about, like, how innovation is super important, and like, we will always like killing monsters, and that's not going to change, but you also need to, as the industry grows, make space for lots of different types of people who like to game in lots of different types of ways, mm-hmm. if you're going to be successful. And which I think is great and smart, and the people in the industry need to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
But his example of who did it right was Journey. So I thought that was so funny because Sam hates that game.
There.
Yeah.
That is funny.
Thank you. I needed that.
Good morning, Sam.
Yeah.
Or afternoon now, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no kidding.
Lord. I mean, and I understand. I really do. I understand that people like certain kinds of games, right? I mean, and Journey was a beautiful game.
It's just not for you.
It's not
for
me.
I totally understand that.
It is not for me. I mean, yeah, no.
No.
I mean, I that's because I play games probably for a different reason than other folks play games. Not all other folks, but some other folks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people play to play the game, to finish the game, to do what have you. I play basically things that make me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, in whatever way it takes. Usually for me, that involves shooting the shit out of things.
Rage venting. Your weaponry.
But you like story too. You read all the captions on shit. You read everything.
I do.
So you like,
because I want to know why I'm killing everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there's really not, I mean, there's really not a story to Journey. Not in, like, the sense that there is, like, with the captions and the lore and stuff like that. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's a different kind of story, I guess.
It is. It is. It's a story that kind of...
Ouch. Sorry.
Ouch. Kind of unfolds itself for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You write the story just based on the actions that
mm-hmm.
you do. Or even the actions that you have in terms of what you can write.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but no, it doesn't work for me. If I can't shoot something, because it's like, ooh, look, there's that. I bet I can really blow that up. Nope,
you cannot.
None of that.
There's no blowing up in this game.
None of that.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I thought that was funny. So, indie game of the week. This is going to be a very quick one. My indie game of the week is Lone Survivor. And I will say the positives first. The positives is that I think for the people who like that type of game and that type of play, it has a lot of potential. It's kind of interesting. It's creative. They take a spin on a lot of classical mediums. Or a lot of classical genres, and then they kind of like do something different with it and splice it up. And it's kind of it's got a total retro feel, point and click adventure feel. Like you walk up to the cabinet and then you have to press X to open the cabinet, and you can press X to pick up the coffee, etc.
And it's all 8-bit.
It's all 8-bit.
Oh, okay.
So for people who like that kind of stuff, I think it's done really well. That said, I don't like that kind of stuff.
So it's like worst game for you.
So it was, I know. So I gave it a shot and played around with it a little bit, and I can see what they're going for. And for the people who like that kind of thing, definitely interesting. But the light drives me crazy. The way it's lighted up, kind of animated, and that drives me crazy. And the level of work you have to go through to get to anything interesting sort of bothers me, and lots of like nonsensical side things that don't really relate to the game at all. So it's like watching Meet the Fockers or whatever that game is, or whatever that movie is. It's just like these moments of anxiety with no point. I hate that movie. I shouldn't have compared it to that. I didn't mean to do that to you, Lone Survivor.
That kind of makes sense though.
Yeah.
In a way, like awkward moments. For no good reason other than making
them
awkward.
Yeah, exactly. Huh. So, so if you're a big retro gamer, you could check this out. I'm sure you'd think it's interesting. Or point and click adventure person.
Or someone survival who likes horror.
Survival horror, right?
Yeah.
But I'm survival horror, and I didn't like it.
Yeah, so am I, and I didn't like it.
Or if you're just boring, you would like it too. If you're a boring kind of person.
If you suck,
no, I don't.
That's way to insult our listeners.
Yeah. Checking out for people who like that kind of stuff. And that's all I have to say about that. So
good,
topic.
Good.
All right. Our topic this week.
Our happy fun topic.
Yeah. Our happy fun.
It's a big good one.
Yep.
It's a big good one, and it's got 90% less rate. is this week we figured we talk about games and learning, games and education. I think that this is especially interesting, at least to me right now, because there was so much talk going on at GLS about games and education. We hear it all over the place, all the time. Locally, we hear it. Nationally, we hear it. But one of the things that we heard the most, at least I heard the most, was people saying stuff like, oh my God, if somebody says gamification again, I'm going to kill myself.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all been there, right? So I want to talk about a bit about where games and education is going. Right, especially when we've had Valve release Teach with Portals, which gives licenses not only for the game itself, but for the puzzle builder within Portal, and says, here's a site. Not only do we want you to build these things and use them in your classroom, but we want you to share lesson plans, right, so other people can see how to do this kind of thing.
Crowdsourcing
pedagogy is really interesting. All right, and now we have EA starting their own game lab that is specifically for games and education. We've got
Microsoft's got Kodu.
Microsoft's got Kodu. This is happening all over the place. I mean, Constance Steinkuhler gets a presidential appointment, a government appointment for studying serious games. It's all over the place. So we've got interesting things going on that I think we need to pay some attention to for a number of reasons. Because, is gamification, as it has historically been thought of, a bad thing? If it is, what replaces it?
Mm-hmm.
I've often said and have not tried to hide in any way, shape, or form that I think that serious games are great as serious games, but they're not going to teach anybody anything.
Right.
Not anybody who doesn't want to learn.
It's not going to teach the explicit things they're trying to teach.
Right. One, it just won't work. Two, I mean, it doesn't reach the population that we want it to reach 9 times out of 10, because they're used to playing a different kind of game, and we're throwing them, as Jim G would say, chocolate-covered broccoli.
Yep. Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Sounds horrible.
I'd try it.
You probably would.
Hey, this is poison. Try this. All right.
Sweet.
So, what do you think, guys? I mean, is this something new? Is this gonna work? What's going on? What needs to be done?
I have thoughts.
You have thoughts?
Yeah,
go for it.
I wrote some notes at the bottom of this thing.
Okay, so several thoughts. My first one is that game studies right now, games and learning, is super interdisciplinary. Mm-hmm. Interdisciplinary. And the disciplines don't know how to talk to each other and share resources and map, you know, what we call a particular theory. Sociology calls this, psychology calls this, programming calls this, right? So we aren't matching up at any level of our discourse. And so I think because of that games and learning hasn't advanced where it could be advanced to, because there's smart work being done in all these different areas, but it's being done over and over again because it's staying in their own little discourse.
There's too much of a disconnect.
Yep, exactly. So I think that one thing that needs to be solved is that there has to be a central, some sort of central resource, central language that people who do games and education use. And that's not to say that we can't innovate by bringing our own things from our disciplines. In fact, that's going to make it awesome, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there has to be a way we can talk to each other without learning a whole other discipline.
Yeah.
Some sort of language that we can all communicate with each other. And I think that's what's brilliant about the GLS conference, is because that's made for. Bringing people from different disciplines, people in the field, practitioners, gamers together to talk. So I think once that starts to happen, then we can get at one of the biggest issues that I see in games and education, and that's questions of transfer.
Mm-hmm.
So the question I wrote on here is the following. Will the end goal of learning how games work ever be enough to justify using games in education, or will we always have to be teaching something other than games with games?
Mm-hmm.
So, because I think that we can start to really understand transfer and how that works a lot better when we can say that learning how to play games better or learning how to make games is enough of an education.
It's a pedagogical goal.
It's
right?
a pedagogical
yeah.
goal.
Yeah.
Not, well, we'll use games to teach history. We use games to teach, you know, critical thinking, which we would do and is super important. But I just wonder if the question of transferability, because that's such a huge problem, because we don't know how it works. People in education don't know how it works, right?
Yeah.
You can't say you put an X to a student's brain and get Y. You know, that's just not going to work.
Right.
We know you learn things, you know. We know games improve stuff, but so I think that once we, if we can recognize that learning about games is in and of itself a good educational goal.
Right. Producing some sort of result that you absolutely want.
Yes, absolutely. Then I think we can move past that. And that's what I'll say for now.
I think that's really interesting, though, because do you think that it's just a lack of, like, research in the area, or do you think it's a lack of our, like, what you were saying, like, the interdisciplinary, like not the community, there's no, like, good communication. Do you think that that's holding back, like, us understanding doing X results and Y, or
well, I have a good example. Ian Bogost. So Ian Bogost comes from computer programming, right? Right, something like that, like computer something or other. So he was writing all this stuff about rhetoric without knowing how rhetoric works.
Mm-hmm.
For the people who spent their entire
right,
career studying
right.
rhetoric, so he sort of assumed a lot of things about it that we spent our entire careers were arguing against. But of course, he hasn't read it because he's not in our field, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he pissed a bunch of people in rhetoric off, and then they started arguing against his use of these things. And then he gets pissed, and now he won't come to any of the conferences that have to do with rhetoric.
Because us rhetoric people don't know anything about
because
rhetoric.
We don't know anything about... Well, he says we shouldn't be studying anything about games, right? Or because we don't know programming, so how can we possibly study games? Because we don't know anything. So.
Which, I mean, in a way, like, his point isn't any less valid than us saying, like, don't come into rhetoric or whatever.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, yeah, if you can't have that...
But what could have happened is rhetoric being, you know, people in rhetoric being like, okay, so you have this theory, but it uses rhetoric super simplistically, and then take this, which is like some of the stuff I'm doing in my dissertation, so take his stuff further, right, and add what the depth of rhetoric to it, right? So that would be a productive way, but I think the first thing that happens is defensiveness of disciplinary boundaries when you're like, hey... Hey,
whoa,
this is mine.
Yeah. I mean, and I agree. I mean, it's interesting. I think there's a bit of a jump between, you know, rhetoricians saying, you know, you don't do rhetoric, and so don't try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and now, because I don't think that that's necessarily what we say. You know, I always want to think that rhetoricians are hard, good people. but we have a grounded understanding in the fact that there are other things at play and not just the obvious.
And when you don't consider those things, it's hurtful to the entire group of people.
Absolutely.
So, I don't think it was that rhetoric was like, fuck you, Ian Bogos. I think some people don't like to be criticized, I imagine.
Yeah, that happens.
Well, we all criticize each other all the time, so we're just dandy.
Whatever, Sam called me smart today. I'm holding on to that for the rest of my life. She threatened to stab me 60 times, but she also
said smart.
She,
it equals
so,
out.
So we're
I was trying to make her feel better after I threatened to stab her.
What did I say to you last night? I need constant, immediate validation at all times.
At all times. That's funny, though, too. Totally not related to what we were just saying. But in the way that you said, like, there's different things that you have to consider, like, from almost every perspective, and if anything, that's what rhetoricians are, like, experts at.
Mm-hmm.
So, if anything, I feel like, and maybe it's not something that should happen or whatever, but in a way, like, rhetoricians are able to see those points in such a better view than other people
mm-hmm.
outside of the... So, as rhetoricians, we're taught to look at every possible angle,
mm-hmm.
but I think in other disciplines, they're taught to be on, like, a focus track.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, in that way, like, if anything, I'm trying to say that, like, there should be some sort of rhetorician always involved. I don't know if, like, that's kind of a
bold
claim.
Well, I like that idea.
that's exactly where I wrote that question, is I feel like rhetoric could be the place where all these things come together.
Right.
That's potential to be, at least.
Yeah. I want to jump in and say something. Something else. Interestingly enough, I've been thinking about this because one of the questions that Alex asked was, "Will the end goal of learning how games work ever be enough to justify using games in education, or do we always have to be teaching with some other goal in mind?" Right. So it's like, oh, okay, this is supplemental, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what we're trying to help folks understand, especially when we start getting into stuff like teaching with Portal and having people write lesson plans specifically for these games in this process, is that the game itself can be the goal,
mm-hmm.
right? It can be the goal. And I think that there's some interesting stuff going on. I mean, I met a woman when I was at GDC who is working with K-12 teachers. Doing teacher education
mm-hmm.
and working with them in games, right? So she wrote a grant and she got handheld games for all of them. So everybody got a DS
nice.
To use during the semester as they were working on these projects. And I think that that's essential.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that all too often our and education is not the only department or school that is guilty of this.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
They don't have the resources
yep.
to do these things. And not only resources as in material resources, but also they don't have the intellectual resources because they spend all their time trying to figure out how to teach to the test, right? Especially, you know,
right.
depending on where you are. I mean, we here we have the I-STEP, and our scores are abysmal in this state in terms of students who actually pass that damn test. But, you know, we know how biased standardized tests are, especially when you're talking about minorities.
Are you crazy?
And, or,
as long as you think, act, talk, and respond like me, then you're fine.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So, you know, not only is it biased towards folks of color, but it's also biased towards folks who are of a different socioeconomic class.
Absolutely.
Here in Indiana, you know, where we have a lot of little rural towns, yeah, you're going to have a whole hell of a lot of kids who fail that exam. But I think that the thing is that we need more people who say, okay, you're educators. We need to do this so that you have a better understanding, you know, not only how you might reach students in the classroom, but what these students are thinking or how they think even.
Yeah.
Right? If you don't understand games and how games work, and you're trying to work with students who game 6, 7, 8 hours a day, on average, or even less, right? 3, 4 hours a day. That's their main source of entertainment. You can't understand how they think.
Right.
Because their brains are wired differently at this point. I mean, cognitively, we know that.
Yep.
Right? They're wired differently. And if you don't understand what's caused that rewiring, you can't understand what the hell you're supposed to be doing with them. And you know, that's one of the most interesting things that I think is going to be coming up in education. I'm dying to work with a bunch of educators, a bunch of K-12, you know, student teachers or teacher students, shall we call them, not student teachers. But to work with them and talk to them about this kind of thing, because I think all too often, you know, there are people who don't game or don't think about what it means to game in an educational space.
Yep.
And you know, Jim G does education. A lot of the folks at UW-Madison do games in education. But I don't think most of that stuff actually makes it into the university's curriculum.
Sure.
When it's talking about the basics of education and the basis of educational theory. It just doesn't make it in. It's still too kind of outlier-ish.
Oh, it's games.
To make it in.
Yeah.
It's games,
yeah, it's
right.
Games. Yep.
And we don't have any business doing that.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a sad thought.
Well, it's...
I mean, it's obviously there, but yeah, it's a sad thought.
But it's declining every year, I think, by significant percentages. I mean, at this point... It's difficult to ignore the importance and potential, right? Some people do, but
yeah,
they're going to be retired soon. So I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Oh, that's not funny.
I used to think that a lot when I actually taught public school. It's like, God, they're going to retire soon.
I think every generation thinks that.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
We should answer our question. Do you have it up? I mean, we can finish this too, but we should at some point answer our question.
Oh.
So, I guess on that note.
Jesus, moving along.
I still have more notes and stuff too.
Are we taking a break from thought and answering a question?
No, well, let's go ahead and finish up because Alex had a really interesting note that I think we should.
Is it that last one?
Uh huh.
So, there's this. Steinkuhler Squire article, and she talks about how games have such great potential because after the initial investment, cost isn't a prohibitive factor anymore in gaming. In fact, she says at one point that costs almost get down to nothing to game. And your face is exactly how my face was. Cost. I am 27 years old and have a full time job. And cost is an extremely prohibitive factor for me, gaming,
yeah.
Right?
Huge.
It is for you, and you're a tenured professor, right?
Mm-hmm.
costs an enormous... Like, if you think gaming is buying three games and then playing them for 5 years,
yeah.
then, yeah, the cost gets down to nothing. But that's not how people game.
That's not how you build community either,
that's
because you're not playing what other people are playing.
Exactly.
I mean, and that's a huge thing that we have to understand, that a lot of the most interesting stuff, a lot of the most fruitful... A lot of the fruitful stuff when we start talking about what people learn by themselves or learn through games happens in communities.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And if you're playing the same games, same three games, you know.
Your whole, yeah.
Like, I've been playing Sims 3 for, how long has it been out? 4 years?
Yeah, at least.
So, okay, so I've been playing Sims 3 for 4 years. I am not learning new things about Sims, new things about myself,
new things
about anything.
No.
I do it to zone out, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
To, like, get that mind-numbing, like, zoning out. Because you know all the mechanics. You know exactly what's going to happen.
Yep.
There is
all
no
the different strategy.
Exactly,
right, exactly.
Exactly.
So I don't understand this. And I think it's important that we recognize the cost, right? It's sort of like how people try to ignore the digital divide, right?
Yeah.
Like the, oh no, everyone's got the internet, everyone has computers. Like, no.
No, they don't.
No,
yeah.
They don't. And it's okay. That doesn't mean we shouldn't go forward with game studies because a lot of people can't afford it.
Right.
But we can't say that gaming is there's lots of possibility with it because cost isn't prohibitive.
Cost, yeah.
Right?
Cost is definitely prohibitive.
But I think that it needs to be central to our...
I mean, I think you're right.
And
I mean,
ability.
Because we still have to... We have to understand and acknowledge that, yeah, the cost is there. I don't know that there's necessarily hidden costs. All that cost is up front.
Yeah.
I mean...
yeah.
But then there are some things that are kind of hidden, right? Like the need for internet access, especially when we
sure.
start talking about games... like Diablo 3, where you have to be online to play that game,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
When you
batteries
start,
control
batteries, yeah, batteries for controllers or electricity.
Mm-hmm.
When you start talking about TVs, even
mm-hmm.
right, because I mean, if you still have a non-HD TV, it's pretty much impossible to play
yeah.
new games,
mm-hmm.
new consoles on that TV.
Mm-hmm.
We have a graduate student here who runs into that problem all the time, who wants to play the new games. When she gets one, she's like, I can't read any of the text
yep.
because I'm still playing on this, you know, this CRT.
Yep.
So, I mean, there are a lot of costs involved that we can't ignore, right? And even cost when we start thinking about time that it takes to play these games.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
You need some leisure time.
You need leisure time. Leisure time costs a lot,
yep.
right?
And then that doesn't mean that these people aren't gaming. But it also doesn't mean that we can't be like, well, you spend $600 and then you have it forever.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Doesn't happen that way.
Right.
Or
exactly.
until it red rings on you.
Yeah. But as long as you spent the money on the warranty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, those are a lot.
I mean, and that's, I mean, there's a lot of things, especially when we're talking, when I was talking about teachers, you know, teachers, student teachers in the classroom and teachers that go, that are actually actively teaching when we talk about costs,
yep.
right? Other kinds of costs. I mean, I was a teacher, I was a public school teacher for a good bit of time. And I know that, you know, one, public school teachers don't get paid that much money. Two, school systems are broke. They're broke
yeah.
as hell.
Mm-hmm.
People don't understand that. They all think that, you know, teachers are overpaid, school systems are wasting money. No. A lot of times, you got to buy stuff.
Yep.
Not only are you buying pencils and pens and paper and notebooks and rulers and all kinds of stuff that some kids in your class can't afford and the school system can't provide. There were times that I was buying stuff like toilet paper and paper towel. I mean, very basic stuff. So, you know, to say, okay, I know that some of these kids are playing games, or a lot of kids do play games, even
for
if
sure.
they are less financially able to do certain things than other kids are. Somehow they come up with these funds,
yep.
right? They, you know, they get a system for a birthday or Christmas, and then
mm-hmm.
they, you know, they save money and they get money for other occasions, or they get gift cards.
Or even just on, there's so many games on the computer.
Yeah.
That don't require tons of system.
Absolutely. Right. I mean, so they are doing these things, but then we talk about, you know, we talk about teachers. We can't say teachers just need to do this. No, teachers have all these other costs, these very real material costs when they say, okay, well, now this teacher who's spending her money on pencils and papers and pens and and toilet paper and paper towel also has to spend her money on games.
Yep, buy an Xbox.
Right. You know, or his money. I say her because I think more of myself there. But then there's also other kinds of hidden costs, right? What they have to give up. There's the question of leisure time again. And it shouldn't be leisure time because it's not leisure.
Right.
Right.
Right? This is not a leisurely activity. It's a pedagogical activity. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be seen by all those around as leisure. Right? So you have to, you know, be able to do these kinds of things and explain and justify why you do these kinds of things, and why you're taking time away from teaching to the test in order to do this. I mean, there's all kinds of hidden costs. I mean, that becomes more time that the teacher has to spend. Right. Because oftentimes you have to do written rationales that are going to go up through the ranks in order to be able to use non-standard educational items in your class.
And what's the Xbox going to do to help you pass that test, huh?
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so there's all kinds of stuff that you have to consider that a lot of times doesn't get considered by a number of different folks. And I'm not saying that Steinkuhler doesn't acknowledge this, but just that folks need to recognize. I mean, Steinkuhler works for the president. In no uncertain terms.
Madison, and they have insane resources there. That GLS conference,
have insane resources, one, right? I mean, but we also have to understand that, you know, the government is still saying that teachers have to do X, Y, and Z in order to remain employed,
right.
You know, and that these are the metrics that they have to kind of stand up to. So unless somebody's going to say, you know, we understand that this is the case, but there's also X, Y, or Z amount of time that can be spent on non-standard educational practices in order to see if this is going to work better, because clearly what we've been doing for the last 20 years ain't working worth a damn.
Right. Right. Yeah, I don't think she really meant that. It was probably just like a throwaway comment, like, hey, games are great because you buy them once and then they're free.
Right.
You know, but
I mean, you have to. I mean, I can understand in some way, right? Play devil's advocate. I can understand in some way why she would say it, because, you know, it justifies a lot of things and it gets you in the door.
For sure. And you need someone who understands games at the White House being like, hey, stop these crazy tests, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Think about all these other different ways. So, yeah.
You just hope that is the case.
We're not ripping you, Constance.
Yeah, you just hope that is the case. I mean, it is, and a lot of this stuff is serious games, and I'm kind of down on serious games anyway. No, I'm not down on serious games. Let me not say that. I see more value in commercial games for educational purposes than I do for quote-unquote serious games.
Is that article out there yet?
That being said,
moving right along.
Now you have two to write by the end of the summer.
Yeah, well, that's going to happen.
That's going to happen.
That's a good note to end on.
Yeah.
We have an email question to address. I'll read the question.
All right.
Indeed we do.
I'm ready.
Dear NYMG, that would be yes.
Hello.
Mostly me. I'm the N. And the Y.
I'm the G.
You're the M.
Square.
Okay, maybe we'll read the question. I'm sorry.
I wanted to ask about your take on body horror in video games. It's not a specific question, but oh well. What are your thoughts on the subject? I don't play a lot of horror games, but in recent years I have noticed that the female body, and more specifically, female reproduction as horror, seems to show up quite a bit. But I haven't noticed anything specifically that does a version of male body horror or male reproduction or whatever the male nightmare might be. But then I haven't played The Binding of Isaac and have heard that it has body horror of both sexes. Likewise, in the Alien films, the body horror seemed pretty even since both men and women could be impregnated.
Yeah, I just watched The Thing last night. That totally happens with both sexes.
Mm-hmm. And this reader offers a link here to an interesting article about the subject. There was also an article a while back about the brood mothers and the female nightmare from the Dragon Age games. But I can't seem to locate that one again. Blah, 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 blah. Also, I wanted to add the necromorphs look a bit like deformed fetuses, I think. Once again, I don't play a great deal of horror games, and maybe it's not just female reproduction that's used as monstrous in horror games. And on another note, if you played Deus Ex Human Revolution, the Missing Link DLC, the body horror in that is quite eerie, but it doesn't seem like the Hiron drones needed to be only and specifically beautiful young women at all. This last part is just a rant. Thank you, Opaline.
Well, Opaline, thanks for writing.
Good question.
And it's a good question. It's a great question. I mean, I think it's one that we've actually talked a bit about before, because I always go on my rant about the horrific, monstrous mother.
Yep. Yeah, in the Ripley episode, we talked a lot about that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, absolutely. I mean, because it is something that we've seen since Alien, and it's, you know, it starts out, I mean, it progresses through the Alien, Alien movies, right, where, you know, initially Ripley is everyone is impregnated, right, by the alien and bursts forth and kills everybody. And then, of course, by the end, Ripley has herself not only become mother to alien, but part alien, right? And all these weird kind of genetic cloning mutation things that they've done to her over time. And I think it is really interesting, and the way that this carries forward in video games. And I'd even make the argument that Opaline says, you know, or whatever the equivalent is for the male nightmare, I'd make the argument that female reproduction for men in this case is a nightmare.
Yeah.
A
male nightmare. That's smart. Yeah, I bet you're right.
Right. I mean, because that's what
that was my first thought. Yeah.
That is the nightmare right there. Right. It's like, oh shit. right. I mean, and it's interesting. I mean, and the notion of the fetuses, and that was one of the things that I noticed immediately, and even in the Binding of Isaac, right, is that all these monsters that he fights, it's like, oh shit, they all these look like fetuses floating around. They're fetus demons.
Yep.
Right? I mean, and I know that you played a lot more Binding of Isaac than I did.
Hence my insanity.
Hence your insanity. but for a number of different reasons.
But we played it up on the big screen, so you've seen a lot.
I mean, and I played a lot of it, even aside from that. But, I mean, the monstrous mother there, right? So, I mean, any mother that does not do what mothers should, quote unquote, I'm using air quotes there, is a monster and becomes even more monstrous. Mm. In a number of different ways. I mean, we've seen it everywhere. We've seen it in movies. We see it in Disney films all the time.
God.
They become more monstrous. And I would argue, you know, in all the older Disney films, definitely, and even to a certain degree in Brave, but, you know, I don't want to speak ill of Brave.
Well, they usually kill the mother often enough.
Well, or she starts off dead.
Yeah.
The mother is always dead.
Aladdin.
Yeah, the mother is always dead, and if there is a mother figure present, it's a stepmother, and she is horrific. Yeah. She is monstrous.
She's horrible.
Yeah, she is monstrous. But she's supposed to be. She's a stepmother, not a mother, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not the birth mother, right? And that of course is a monstrous situation.
Mm-hmm.
So you know the mother has to die. In order to make that happen, right?
That is all the movies. The mother's dead.
Oh, yeah. And that was the one thing about Brave. At least, you know, at least the mother wasn't dead. But, you know, she does turn into a bear.
Because spoiler.
Well,
just kidding.
That's the whole premise of the movie. But she turns into a bear because of her perceived horrificness of the daughter, but because of the sins of the daughter.
Right.
But it's almost like an opposite thing, too, because, like, she turns her mother into a bear because her mother's acting like the mother in that time does by like following the rules, you know, like she's so obsessed with the rules of what it is to be a princess, what it is to be a queen, what it is to be a mother, that she ends up forcing her daughter to turn into a bear.
Right.
So it's sort of an interesting twist.
Right. But I said, that's what I said. And it's the sins of the daughter that that does it, right? So
that's
The daughter commits that ultimate sin of going to see a witch and saying, you know, I'm going to pay you to fix this problem with black magic. Because, you know, all bad magic has to be black magic, right? And that's what she gets is this horrific thing that she must then fix with the domestic arts. But that's a whole nother story. But to bring it back to video games, we see this.
I was so excited for you to see that movie.
We see this all over the place, right? We see it with in alien films. We see it with Resident Evil. We see it with. One of my favorite series early on was the Parasite Eve series, right?
Oh yeah, Parasite Eve.
Right. I mean, we see all of these survival horror games, and that's why I've been waiting personally a long time for a good female protagonist in a survival horror game. Because I want to see something that is not, you know, the horror that is caused by the female body or some feminized thing, right? So even if it's not the female body or the mother thing, it is something that is feminized in some way.
Yeah.
Right?
That was the worst part about the brood mother in Dragon Age was the big, like, boobs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so unnecessary. Like, so unnecessary.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was a horrifying concept without the, like, female body added into it. And I was just sitting there and I was like, this is just... It felt tacky. It felt like a tacky, like, horror aspect of it. And it wasn't...
I mean, even in, like, I'm playing Diablo 3, right? Even in Diablo 3, I mean, you got zombies. Everybody knows how zombies are made.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to have... But they instead of being made in a traditional way, you got zombie mothers that are vomiting forth more zombies.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right? So, you know, they're not... I mean, that's like... Hey, don't you know your zombie lore? That's not how you make zombies. But you have these... I mean, and it is all about this this kind of evil fecundity of sorts, right? I am going to bring forth... I'm going to use my evil reproductive self to bring forth more evil.
You know, if you look, too, like, this has been happening. This trope has been happening in literature forever.
Yeah.
Like the woman in the attic, right? Like you have this wife who doesn't act how she should. She's from like some oriental country, I think they say, something like that, and or Arabian country or something. And so they put her in the attic right now. She's crazed. And then or you have like Edgar Allan Poe, and he said, like, what did he say? The death of a beautiful woman is the most poetic topic in the world.
Right? Yeah.
So it's like the deformation of a beautiful woman's like the most entertaining topic in the world.
For or the yellow wallpaper, right? The yellow wallpaper where you have the woman who is clearly suffering from postpartum depression, right? Who is locked in a room with yellow wallpaper as a kind of rest cure. And it's the room that she's locked in has clearly been a nursery.
Right.
Right, and her biggest sin and the reason that she's locked away is because she won't interact with the child she just bore.
Mm-hmm.
Monstrous, right?
Monstrous.
I mean, this is so, you know, this is what she has to do. I mean, and then the question later becomes, in the end, is she freed or does she hang herself? Right?
Grendel's mother?
Grendel's
mother.
Right?
She's the ultimate monstrous mother.
She's the ultimate monstrous mother.
Well, she never does anything to anybody.
No, she really doesn't.
She just dies.
She just has to die because she's Grendel's mother. I was thinking of The Awakening. Isn't that what that's called? Kate Chopin?
Yes.
How you're supposed to, like, almost not be able to sympathize with her character because she has no connection to her children whatsoever.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, this is something that we've seen in all of these different narratives, right? So, you know, it almost makes sense that it gets carried forth
into video games. But interestingly enough, when we have folks like Kate Chopin, when we have folks like Charlotte Perkins Gilman, who are talking about these things as women, they're criticizing them.
That's right.
Right? But they get carried forth in all seriousness in video games. It's like, really? So you kind of picked, you read that and you came up with, yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah. That's what happens to women.
That's how it goes.
And it's like, you didn't get that subtle hint there, right? I mean, so it is really interesting. And it is really interesting that while you don't get female protagonists, you still get female involvement, right? Or feminized involvement, because it's not always females,
right?
I was thinking of also in, I think in Mass Effect 2, the Rachni Queen, and how, in a way, almost they use the feminized, like, the motherly aspect to kind of twist the way that you're feeling, because in a way, like, even in with the Alien movies, I mean, you're watching something be motherly in a really twisted way, but it makes you sympathize for that character. Like, I chose not to kill the Rachni Queen, because I was like, she's literally just defending her children. Yeah, she's a mother. But in the way that it's presented, you feel twisted for having done it. And it's like,
I guess Mass Effect 3, isn't it?
It's the Rachni Queen comes back in 3.
She comes back in Queen. If you didn't,
you can run away, right? You can run away from her. You don't have to kill her in that one either, do you?
No.
Oh, you know what? You're right. Away. Because in 3, she's being controlled by the Reapers.
Right.
Right.
And you can either free her again, or you can leave her there. Yeah. But originally, in the second one, is when you first encounter her, and you're, like, given the decision to either let her go or kill her. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, but you do. You feel, like that maternal, like, tug. Like, she's literally just doing what she's supposed to. And in Alien, it's the same way. I mean, just, like, giving birth to children through horrifying means. But it, like, plays at those emotions, and I don't know, and that's interesting too, like, to see what the male horror side of it is, and maybe it literally just is the fact that they have, like, this horrible, I don't want to say it that way, but, like, men are always portrayed as seeing a woman giving birth and fainting, because it's the most horrifying thing they've ever seen, you know what I mean? So,
oh my God,
it's like, it's a perpetuation of that, like, of that male understanding that they should be scared of female reproduction.
Yeah, a female reproduction, not only being afraid of the act of giving birth, but of everything that
comes along with it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
100%.
That's pretty interesting.
Boom. Good question.
That was a great question.
We need more questions.
I know. How about more smart people?
Yeah. Oh, I dropped my phone.
That's okay.
That's cool.
All right, so this week we had deals for broke ass gamers.
There's one.
I put a couple things.
Oh, did you?
Steam, there's still no Steam summer sale.
What the hell, Steam?
Yeah, Steam.
And the natives are getting a bit restless, and they're even resorting to doing hostage videos.
Yeah,
hostage videos. But the midweek sale is Dungeon Defenders. And some of the DLC even for like 60% off. So you can get Dungeon Defenders along with the Steam Workshop stuff so you can build your own levels for $5.09 until
tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is tomorrow already. Wow.
10 o'clock, was it 10 o'clock Pacific time?
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow? 10 a.m., that is. Good Old Games actually has some pretty good stuff. If you're waiting for Torchlight 2 and haven't bought Torchlight yet, you can get 40% off Torchlight on Good Old Games. Hmm. 60% off the Chronicles of Riddick. And 60% off the Alan Wake series. So it's Alan Wake and Alan Wake the American Nightmare.
Hmm.
Why are you laughing? You don't like Alan Wake?
No, I'm not laughing.
She's laughing.
I know, she's laughing. I liked Alan Wake.
I have nothing against Alan Wake.
I liked it too. It was interesting. Gave me nightmares, actually. Not difficult to do, though. And this isn't exactly a deal, but the newest DLC that's coming out for Mass Effect 3, Earth,
mm-hmm.
is going to be free.
Oh, nice.
Yay.
That I didn't know. I knew it was coming out. I didn't know it was going to be free.
Yep. They just announced that it's going to be free.
Yay. Free Mass Effect 3 demo.
I know. You can't beat that.
No, you
can't.
Really
I love
can.
Free stuff.
God, and they do great demo or DLC for the series.
Mm-hmm.
It's always, I'm always so satisfied with their DLC packs.
Yeah. And hopefully the Steam sale will be starting soon. That would be
gonna
nice.
We're going to do our own hostage video.
We're going to do our own. Oh, we do NYMG
hostage video.
For the Steam sale. All right. On that note.
Woo.
That is.
That's the note.
Yeah, that note.
Right
Woo.
There, right there. Woo.
There is
caffeinated. I'm caffeinated.
That's another episode of that's episode 38 of the Not Your Mama's Gamer podcast.
90% less rape.
Yeah, with 90% less rape.
With 90% less rape.
Woo.
So until next time, folks, stay cool. Stay
inside.
Inside.
Just don't go outside.
And as always, game on.
Game on. Game on.